Kia ora tātou, and thank you, Joe. So, I've been asked to provide a very brief summary of today's discussions, and I know that dinner awaits us, and we had a very long day. We had no less than 13 presentations today, but I just want to quickly highlight five key things that took place today. The first of all, we're all here because there is Section 4 in the Conservation Act. This is the provisions of the Treaty of Waitangi. And so the first theme was really the big picture question regarding the treaty and Crown and iwi relationships. This was touched on many occasions throughout presentations today. The second thing was to then turn our attention more directly to what does this actually mean for DOC? What does this mean for the Department of Conservation and its relationships with iwi going forward? The third thing was we heard quite a number of live examples and case studies of where the rubber hits the road in the Crown Māori relationship, or the DOC Māori relationship, you might say. And we've just heard from quite a number of speakers on their experiences, the things that went well, the things that didn't go well, the hopes and aspirations, the pains and sufferings and so on this relationship. Of course, interwoven into many of the presentations today was claims. In fact, it was quite difficult at times to actually separate a pure DOC discussion from a claim discussion, the settlements of claims going forward. I'd just also like to very quickly highlight there were two other really important aspects of our discussions today, and all of them, of course, are very important. We heard a very important international presentation this morning of a modern-day treaty inside Canada. And we also had quite an important discussion in the middle of the day regarding innovations in the law. This was Jacinta and the group and so on. I'll just quickly touch upon each of the presentations. Firstly, we heard from the Minister this morning, who basically expressed an aspiration for achieving a positive relationship with iwi and Māori. She touched upon a number of live examples, including Aotea, Great Barrier Island, Ngāti Rehu and the Kukako there, Russell Forest, the Six Hapu Forest Restoration. She mentioned a bunch of other things that departments can improve, but also mentioned one of the difficult things was around commercial permissions. This requires a complex set of questions around, and it's something that the DOC needs to relate with other entities or other Crown entities to address questions around commercial permissions. The thrust of her kōrero, however, was to continue to work to improve the relationship with iwi, hapu and whānau. Piti Shasha gave us an historical context on the department. This department was established in 87. He cleverly used the Tai Kore, Tai Pō, Tai Ao construct, you might say. He described very briefly what the heck was going on in 1987. Quite a lot of things were going on. He then talked about his role as an ADG Māori at the time, a visit to Te Wānanga Wairokua. The big leap forward, he suggested, was the movement of kaupapa te whai managers into the regions. That was an important thing. It's interesting he said this thing, great believer in the style being the prerogative of the CEO. I'd be interested to know and what that really means, and no doubt Lou will have some comments about that. Taiao was really talking about some very important things that have taken place, things like the return of Hikurangi, the return of the Taupō Lake Bed, environmental programs that are taking place within the iwi now. He did quote Dr. John Tamahori of TPK, and he said, "The Māori of the Māori, kei te one e piri ana," which is a really nice expression. And one final thing, he talked about the importance of Indigenous wisdom as much as the importance of Indigenous knowledge. Then we heard, of course, from Kim Baird in a very important presentation regarding a modern-day treaty, which is quite an unusual idea for us here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, but really quite inspiring presentation about a large amount of work that was done over 17 years, if I've got that correctly, initiated first of all in about 93, finally came to fruition in 2009, and also all of the things that were able to be achieved for those people as a consequence of doing the treaty. She did note that 30% of the own people did not support the treaty, and it'll be interesting to learn further what were the concerns about that. But it also gave us an overview of things like the development of economic initiatives and so on. My favourite bit of the presentation, Kim, was the little girl who said, it feels like there's a little bit more freedom now, and it feels like we've got a few more choices. I thought that was fantastic, that the little girl on the video. Jacinta Rudu, of course, as we all know, Jacinta's been working a lot in the area of legal personality and has been doing a lot of thinking providing the real grunt behind things like the legal personality of Whanganui River, Te Uruwera and so on, Taranaki shortly and so on. She told us she's actually got piles of ideas about changing various acts of Parliament, various pieces of legislation. She said that Section 1 of the Canadian Parks Act does enable a federal government to enter into agreements with local communities, including First Nation communities, and she noted that there was completely nothing at all like that inside New Zealand's National Parks Act. She mentioned Section 4 of the National Parks Act, the Hauraki Marine Gulf Act, and a variety of other acts that she feels that lots could be done about that. But that whole thing about legal personality, she gave us a really great description of what legal personality actually means and the significance of it in the New Zealand setting. We then heard a presentation from Ngā Whenua Rāhui, two representatives of Te Whānau Apanui presented Ngā Whenua Rāhui and touched upon the project at Ngā Puke Ariki, which included, amongst a number of things, the reintroduction of kōkako to Ngā Puke Ariki. Then there was the panel discussion, the lawyers, the academic lawyers actually, as well as practicing lawyers, who touched on various aspects of the law again. Interestingly enough, they said that the dichotomy between LAW and LORE need not be as conflicted or as difficult as we might think it to be. There are, Jamie mentioned that importance around constitutional reform is ultimately really what's really most important, but in the meantime, lots of really important things can actually be done. Lots of innovations and changes can actually be done already. I'm going to quickly move on to the humorous presentation by Peter Prime of Motutau. It was great to see Peter there. Of course, we all know his dad very well. He's been involved in Ngāti Hine stuff for a long, long time. Terrific to see Peter there. And Aaron, of course, advancing the whole kaupapa that I'm not sure that that Kevin established, but nonetheless, the people there have established. Melding Western science and Mātauranga Māori, leadership for our treaty partner, touched upon the earliest memory of Mātauranga Māori and being on the marae, there are consequences and implications of Mātauranga Māori. We then heard from Tani Davis about Rakiura Titi Islands, and how it's marvellous to hear that this has been an uninterrupted practice in those peoples since pre-European times. It's fantastic to hear that there are these corners of Māoridom in which certain uninterrupted tikanga have managed to survive through all this time. I was also really touched to hear about the oil spill on the California coast and how it had implications for us in Rakiura. We then moved on to a very moving and rather saddening presentation about whale strandings from our whanaunga there at the top of the south. The video that was played, the arrival of Hidini Melbourne and the group to play Taonga Puoro and so on at Te One Tahua, and also the sense of relationship that has clearly grown amongst the iwi, the tangata whenua there, the mana whenua there, and the local doc office. Only three more, ladies and gentlemen. Hami Piripi, another humorous presentation at times, talked a lot about what struck me in his presentation was the emphasis upon going back, trying to reclaim our entire history, not just the history since 1840 or 1769, but our entire history back from when our people first arrived, kupe and ko first arrived. He talked a lot about the negotiations with the Crown in the settlement of their claim and some of the things that they were able to advance in the claim and some of the things they weren't able to advance in the claim. There was an assumption that conservation values were going to be immediately in conflict with kaitiakitanga values, but he was surprised and pleased to learn that there was quite a lot of area of complementarity between the two. He also, though, however, mentioned that one of the great things about kaitiakitanga and mana whenua approach was that we get to do it, nobody else. many, many other things. I'm really racing. I appreciate this. So next we heard from Waikato, and particularly the Waikato Cultural Materials Plan. We got an historical introduction, of course, the Tawhia o Tongi, which is well known, and of course the whole experience of the Raupatu, the confiscation of Waikato. We know this very, very well. It's the presentation then moved on to the Cultural Materials Plan, which is an attempt, a co-management, a collaborative arrangement to try and reconstruct the sense of relationship to places, and more particularly the harvesting of resources in those places. It was important, there was a note there about it does still retain the consequences of other relevant acts. So it doesn't mean that other acts are not relevant in the space. So people can still be in breach of other acts of Parliament in enacting the Cultural Materials Plan. But importantly, it is for the iwi to determine what those breaches are. The iwi to do the interpretation of the act, the relevant piece of legislation. Number 12 was Ngāti Kahununuki Wairarapa, Robin Paul Tangaroa, our PC man. He gave us an overview of a whole range of things going on inside Wairarapa, the interactions between Rangitāne and Ngāti Kahununu, and then, of course, the interactions with DOC itself. A very similar kind of themes of the restoration of culture, restoration of connections and relationships with various places. Pukaha Mount Bruce, of course, Kohunu Marae, which is down at Onoke there, Te Oreore Marae, Te Hika Papauma, Rangi Whakaoma, Hauariki Marae, all of these really important places inside Ngāti Kahununuki Wairarapa, inside Wairarapa. And he concluded on the, is this a pepeha perhaps, Robin, that says ko Wairarapa he tangata whakapoto mōhio? You tell me whether that's traditional or not. Finally, we heard from Ngāti Awa and Te Tapatoru a Toi. Again, some historical material regarding the experiences of Ngāti Awa following the Raupatu in Waikato and the implications or the consequences of that as it fell upon the Tai Rāwhiti force, Ngāti Awa, Tūhoe Whakatohe, Te Whānau Apanui, who made their way into Waikato in support of the king, and the consequences and the fallout of all of those actions. Mentioned this was a mamae kōrero. Then, of course, was the Raupatu of Ngāti Awa's own land, the ostracisation by our own people, and then we moved on to Te Tapatoru a Toi, which included the Motuhora Wildlife Refuge, Ohope Scenic Reserve, the Tauwhare Scenic Reserve, and a joint management arrangement around those three beautiful places. And that's enough for me. Kia ora, everybody.